Well, here we are in our Bible study segment. Ladies, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Okay, so Saul's been anointed king. The prophecy has been fulfilled, and he knows that this is from God. He has had God's Spirit come to rest upon him. And now, as we're going to see today, we're going to see the public choosing of the king of Israel. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. Now, Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah. And he said to the people of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you have rejected your God, who saves you from all your calamities and your distresses, and you have said to him, 'Set a king over us.' Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, "Is there a man still to come?" And the Lord said, "Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage." Then they ran and took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of them from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book and laid it up before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah, and with him went men of valor whose hearts God had touched. But some worthless fellows said, "How can this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no present. But he held his peace. Well, the people of Israel are now getting to meet their new king. Verse 18 is so striking. God brought Israel out of Egypt. God delivered them from all who oppressed them, and they rejected God. God is reminding the people of this truth. Grace came before the law. He extended grace before he gave the law. Redemption came before our gratitude. He rescued them out of Egypt before giving them the law. This hasn't gone unnoticed by God, although he is granting the request and allowing them a human king. He wants to remind them one more time that what they are doing is less than intelligent. I mean, seriously. They are acting as if they believe that God isn't strong enough to save them from the Philistines. When he rescued and sustained them out of Egypt, one more time, God allows his chosen people to make a decision that he knows will end badly. One more time, I have proof that there's a reason why I'm not God, because I would have sent them to their rooms without supper and not given them a king. And then his purpose would never have been achieved either. By drawing lots, they select the tribe, and then the clan, and finally the king of Israel. Guess who was in charge of the lot drawing? God. He's already chosen who was to be king. The lot casting was no big deal. But wait, where is Saul? Where is the man who has already been anointed and told he will be king? He must be here after all. If you were anointed king and God chose you from the whole nation to lead, wouldn't you be standing there to step forward, if not out of pride, out of fear of God? I would, even though I would probably be like Moses saying, "I think you got the wrong person. Maybe you meant to look a couple tents over." fear of God would be enough to get me to stand there and not hide. But Saul hides in the baggage. He's hiding in the luggage. Really? This is the king they want? He who hides from God? Yet another hint as to his true character and heart. Saul has the blessing of God, but he won't step forward. Samuel says it rightly in verse 24. And truly, I think there was a hint of sarcasm in this statement. Indeed, there is none like him. None like he who was hiding in the luggage, terrified to come out, even though he already knew what the outcome would be. This wasn't humility. This was fear. This was cowardice. Verse 25 doesn't really give us a good indication of all that went on here. Samuel helped to establish the role of king the king would play and the role the people would play. It's different than that of surrounding nations because God is still to be their true leader. God is still to be the king. If the regulations that were set forth were broken by the king or the people, there would have to be a clear written statement, not just an unwritten expectation of what was supposed to happen. God surrounds Saul with his men. He provided excellent guides and counselors and warriors for Saul in an effort to keep Saul focused on God. All Saul has to do is to consult these men and God when making decisions. God's already chosen Saul's cabinet. Their hearts have been touched by God. The help is there. Saul simply has to use it. It's interesting that a dissenting voice to Saul was included in this passage. The real answer to the question, how can this fellow save us, is he can't. Only God can save the people. But they've already decided they need a front man, and Saul is the picture of kingliness. Some did think that Saul was not the best choice, and they wanted a different man. In reality, God should have been the only choice. Truly, this is such a sad day for Israel. But they don't see that. They think it's exciting and amazing and wonderful. But in truth, they have just placed a barricade between themselves and God. They have chosen to look to a man for the answers and rescue that only God can give. I know I've done that. Oh, I haven't looked to a king to solve my problems or a president. But before I started dating my husband, I thought that what was missing in my life was a man, and that once I found a man, all my problems would be solved, and everything would be taken care of. How blinded we are by the world and by Satan's lies. There is only one who can fill me up, and that one is God. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my husband, and I don't know what I would do without him or where I would be. But even as much as I love him and depend on our relationship and his love for me, he is human and he isn't perfect. He still leaves his socks in the living room. But I'm not perfect either. We have to remember that we can help each other through many things, but in the end, the only one who can really fill us up is God. We as humans are always looking too low for our answers. We need to aim high and realize that our strength, our peace, our protection, our love and our joy all come from God above. Israel's about to learn that the hard way again, that when they lower their expectations, that they get what they expect. And it's not fun. So, my challenge for us all today is to look up. To look way, way up. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever struggles you are facing, only one can solve them. Are you truly relying on him? Or are you looking too low for your help to come?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.